Before we get into the main text this morning, I think it's good for us to know that what the scriptures tell us, that a man does not live by bread alone. On every word, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So before the text, I think it's good to take a look back at some of the history where all this comes from. If we look back to God's people in Exodus, they were in the bondage to slavery in Egypt. And though Moses delivered his people from bondage, the plagues and all of that, God led them. He was with them. Fire by night, pillar of light by day. But it seems to me that God's people really have a short memory. Do any of you have any memory issues this morning? Yeah. When they were trapped by the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea, they said it was better for them to live in Egypt than to die in the desert, right? And the Lord did what? He parted the Red Sea for them. The scriptures tell us that they were in the desert for 3 days before they found any water. And when they did, it was bitter. So they did what? They grumbled again. And Moses went to the Lord and said to them, I need water for my people. And he made the water sweet for them. The Lord said to them, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then we read in Exodus 16:2, in the desert the whole community did what? They grumbled against the Lord, against Moses, against Aaron, against everybody. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots and ate meat and all the food we wanted. You know, if you like leeks and garlic and onions. But you brought us out into the desert to starve us. The Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, and the Lord made provision for them. Notice the pattern of Israel here. They received protection and provision, and then, even though they were promised a land of milk and honey, a good land, they wondered if they would ever get to it, right? And so, are we that way? I have a good question. Do we forget the Lord's blessings at times? That his promises, his provision, his peace, his love for us? Do we believe for sure this morning that God has made all the provision that we will ever need in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are our memories of his grace and his goodness and his salvation, are they short-lived? I mean, I play a lot of pickleball in New London, Minnesota. And it's always funny to me when we get out on the courts and we play doubles a lot and we forget what the score is. We forget, I might have just served the ball and you know, I might even say, is it still my serve? But when it comes to the things of the Lord, sometimes we have these real short memories. We need to have the long memory of what God has done for us. I came across this song. I'm not going to sing it to you, but some of you are familiar with it. I'll just read the quote. In the country, town, or the city, some people may who spend their lives in grumbling at every around. Oh, yes, they always grumble no matter what we say, for these are chronic grumblers, and they grumble night and day. Oh, they grumble on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday too, grumble on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, grumble the whole week through. They grumble in the city. They grumble on the farm. They grumble at their neighbors. It's too wet, it's too dry, and I won't go there. They grumble when it's raining, they grumble when it's dry, and it's, if the crops are failing, they grumble and they sigh. They grumble, this is for Pastor Tim, if you're watching this morning, They grumble at the preacher. They grumble at his prayer. They grumble at his preaching. They grumble everywhere. But then the last line says, but holy folks don't grumble. They only have time to pray. And that's what we should do. And of course, there were chronic grumblers in Jesus' day. When he was walking among men, in chapter 6 of John's gospel, Jesus declares that he's the what? One of the great I am statements in the scriptures. I am the bread of life. And the Jews grumbled. So what I want us to do this morning is, Sadie read for us those verses. I want to pick up at verse 35 and read a little more to you, the Word of God. Beginning with verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I have told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And of course, at this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I came down from heaven? Jesus says, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they will be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Thanks be to God. Most of us, I believe, would agree that bread is a basic staple of life. And it's been that way for centuries. Through biblical history, bread was the essential part of physical life, an essential part of daily nourishment. You know, in this country, we've been blessed by an abundance of food. I believe we will say that. I loved, you know, the sign that we will work for food. And I have the same question sometime. Will they work for food? Will we help them? We have an abundance of food, but at the same time, we have people that are still hungry in this nation. And that shouldn't be. We have enough. If we have enough to nearly feed the world, we should be able to feed those that are hungry. We have an abundance, but that's not true in other parts of the world, is it? Grains like wheat and barley for bread or rice is a basic staple, and many times it's their only source of food. There's many types of bread, right? My favorite, being a boy from the South, is cornbread. I like cornbread with beans. I like cornbread with soup. I like cornbread anytime. Not only do people grow hungry physically, but maybe they're hungry spiritually also. You know, biblically speaking, bread is a symbol, a metaphor, if you will, for everything necessary for life and well-being, right? Martin Luther wrote this a long time ago. He said, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, give us this day, our daily bread, right? Is that just physical provision. He says, everything that nourishes our body and meets its needs, such as food and drink and clothing and shoes and house, fields, cattle, money, possessions, a devout spouse, devout children, devout employees, devout faithful rulers, good governance, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and others like these. This is that daily bread, that provision, not only physically that the Lord gives to us, but He's made spiritual provision for us. It's good for us, although that bread may meet our physical provision, to maintain a proper perspective. And I think the scriptures tell us that. Proverbs 30 reads, two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies away from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but only give me my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become too poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. I don't know about you, but I have to pray a lot about that. We live in it's been said, the wealthiest nation in the world. I think of people like Rockefeller, who once said, when asked the question, how much is enough? And you know what he said, just a little bit more. Right? Just a little bit more. And we read the Apostle Paul when he says, I've learned to be content in either situation, whether with or without, basically. You know, I know what it is to be in plenty. I know what it is to be in want, and I've learned to be content. We in America, we have a hard time living a contented life sometimes. So this morning, what I'd like to do is try to answer three of those questions that were asked when Jesus was speaking. And the first question comes to us from verse 25, I believe, of chapter 6. And that question is, when did you get here? What a question. Jesus had just fed, 5,000 people, if we look back in the scriptures, right? The loaves and the fishes. He has walked on water. He has healed the sick. He's done so much. When did you get here? They were not looking for more signs of Messiah sent from heaven. They were looking for what? Another meal. Physical. A slice of bread. They didn't slice bread then. They broke it off. You see, the food that we work for can spoil if left unattended. How many of you ever left a loaf of bread on the counter too long? And things start to grow. And they're usually green or black, right? Or it gets hard. Add a little water, it gets moldy, and it's unfit for our human consumption. It seems to me, at least in reading the text here, that the crowds were not too interested in spiritual food. They were more interested in the physical stuff. And they grumbled just like their ancestors did back in Moses' day. Even when God provides everything that a person needs, of physical blessings, there are still those that continue to grumble. And I'm not off the hook. But every once in a while, it seems like the Lord just will grab me by my left ear and pinch real hard and say, hey, do you remember the things that you have been blessed with? And that's why I love that great old hymn, song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One, right? Count your blessings, see what God has done. I would urge you and I would challenge you to do that, to stop long enough in the day to count your blessings. For you see, working for the physical stuff will not satisfy your spiritual hunger. Lord, if I just had another $100 a month in my income. Lord, if I just had a bigger house. Lord, if I could just fill in the blank. Physical stuff will spoil and it will fade away. I read this the other day, and I don't have all the words to it, but some guy wrote a little thing saying, you know, 100 years from now. Have you ever seen that thing? What would it be like 100 years from now? Well, 100 years from now, I'll be gone, should the Lord tarry, of course. And somebody else will be living in my house. Somebody else will be eating at my table. After the second generation, maybe the third, they don't even remember who I am. Oh, yeah, that's the guy's name that's on the stone in the cemetery at Lake Florida Mission Covenant Church. 100 years from now. Right? So all the stuff, we go to funerals and say, well, how much did he leave? And well, we know the answer. He left all of it. He didn't take anything with him. And so we have to learn that lesson over and over again, Lord, that each day is a gift. Do not worry about tomorrow, for Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Today is a gift that God has given us. Today is a gift. Boy, let's celebrate that gift. See, the only thing that can satisfy our spiritual hunger and thirst is the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so are you hungry for him today? Are you working for food that endures or for food that spoils? Jesus is the only one that can satisfy our every hunger need. He said in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they are filled. The other day, I listened to David Jeremiah. I think many of us are familiar with Pastor David Jeremiah. And in fact, he happens to be preaching a series on the I Am's on his Turning Point broadcast. And I think he borrowed my notes. but here's the second question. What must we do to do the work that God requires? And Pastor Jeremiah said these words, it's not something that we do. People are still looking for what they could do to guarantee their salvation, right? You see, in the Jewish mind, there was a works formula, if you will. This formula comes from the Levitical law given by Moses. I just want to say to you again, rituals will not save you. Teaching Sunday school will not change you, save you. Visiting the sick, all those things are wonderful things. That's what we do because we're in Christ. And as the body of Christ, we're called to do those things gladly. Again, Dr. Jeremiah said, look at the rich young ruler. When he told Jesus, I've done all these things, I've kept all things, these things. What do I lack? Well, and Jesus told him to sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And he went away sad, right? Acts 2. The question is still there after Peter's incredible preaching at Pentecost. He says, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and believe. Give your life to Christ. You see, it's not because of what we do. I've had several conversations. The old evangelism explosion question is, why should the Lord let you into his heaven? I've been a good person. I taught Sunday school. I helped my mother. Yeah, those are all wonderful things. That's what believers do, Christians do, good people do. Jesus has that answer not only for them, but for you and me today. He says, believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that he is the one the Father has sent. This is the work of God. Believe in the one he has sent. I didn't say that. The scriptures tell us that. It is belief that redeems us. It is proclaiming our faith in Christ that saves us. You see, Jesus did all the work. He went to the cross and died for you and me. The bread of life went to the cross. That is the answer. Paul writes, certainly in Ephesians, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a what? A gift of God. Not by works, so nobody can boast. Look what I've done. No, we should be proclaiming, look what the Lord has done in me and through me. It is belief that redeems us. It is by faith, by trust, that Christ saves us. And if that is not enough for those early grumblers, there is another question. This is the last one we'll deal with today. What sign will you give? What will you do? And I'm sitting here, really? Don't you get it? Do they not? Do we get it? The sign of God's love, care, and concern for those in Moses' day was bread from heaven, physical food for their nourishment. God provided for their daily bread and a few quail to go along with it, right? We've already said he's fed 5,000 plus. He's healed the sick, the lame were able to walk, the blind see, and they're asking, what sign? Are you asking, what sign, Lord, are you going to give me that I can be saved? Well, how about the sign of the cross that Christ died on? They wanted another sign. They wanted another sign. You see, daily bread, the physical kind, will only satisfy for a day, right? Tomorrow, or maybe before I go to bed tonight. But the true bread of Christ, the spiritual kind, satisfies for all of eternity. Let me say that one more time. The true bread, Jesus Christ, the gift of God through His grace, through His mercy, gave us Christ. And Christ came as God the Son walking this earth so that you and I would receive Him as the bread of life. As physical food is necessary for physical life, so can we say that spiritual food is necessary and essential for our spiritual life? Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread of heaven that sustains us moment by moment. Not only in the joyful times, but from my own experience, and some of you know that, my own experience in saying goodbye to my wife a year and a half ago, through the difficult times. Jesus is the sustainer of life. He is. He is. Day by day. And there's another great old hymn in the hymnal that we hardly use anymore. Day by day in each passing moment. Yeah. So what do we do with this? Well, in a moment we're going to share in the bread and the cup. Are you hungry for this kind of bread? I'm talking about the spiritual kind, the bread of Jesus, the true bread of life. Are you hungry for that this morning? Do you have that hunger and thirst that remains unsatisfied, if you will? Come to this table this morning and allow Christ to satisfy your soul. He will. See, the bread of Christ never spoils. Imagine, I want you to imagine this morning the sweet fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ drifting through the air. Imagine the peace that Christ brings to you, His peace and His presence, the hunger that only He can satisfy, the thirst that only He can quench. Because He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Don't grumble. Just come. Let's pray together. Father, as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive these elements this morning, I pray that you drive this truth, as you are the great I am, but your Son Jesus Christ also is the I am that saves us sinners from eternal damnation, that helps us to know more and more and more how much you love us. You love us like no other can love us. You loved us so much that you gave us your one and only Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have life with you forever. So, Lord, we ask you this morning to bless these elements as we take them, reminding us of the bread of life, Jesus Christ, who saves us. We pray all this in Jesus' matchless holy name. Amen.